Prince, Romans, countrymen. It's Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
It sure is. Welcome back, Alice.
I know, I feel like I've been away for like years.
It's felt like that. We've missed you.
I know, it's literally been weeks, but you know, what is time?
What is time? Don't know her.
I was just talking about this ridiculous bow I put on my daughter's head. It's honestly the size of a dinner plate.
But it's beautiful. But she looks so chic.
She is so chic. And you know, like, why not?
Yeah.
Just a giant bow. It's very... very European, I guess. I don't know. But look, we're not here to talk about the size of the bow on my daughter's head, but we are here to talk about the Auckland Arts Festival, which is coming to Auckland, Tāmaki Makaurau, next month. Oh my gosh, it's creeping up. And we are talking with Bernie Haldane. Welcome to the show.
Kia ora.
Artistic director of the festival. That's a huge responsibility. Like, how does one wrestle with the responsibility, the weight, so to speak, of being the artistic director of a festival for a region which is incredibly rich and diverse, both in kind of cultural and artistic practice? What does it mean to be the artistic director of the Auckland Arts Festival?
If you could tell me, then we'll both know, I think.
Okay, great, yeah.
it's really interesting because I've worked as an executive director or a general manager to a lot of artistic directors of theatre companies and stuff, predominantly in Australia. And so to sit both in a festival context and as an AD and, you know, what is it that you're looking at? What is your responsibility domestically, internationally? What do audiences want to see? How do we bring through our artists? It feels like you could create a very, very long list of things you want to achieve,
yes,
solve, elevate. And
yeah,
so I've taken that deep breath and gone, what can I achieve in 4 years in this seat? And nothing is off the table, I guess.
Ooh,
so
that's exciting.
That's that kind of idea of going, I don't know what a trad AD might be, for want of that better term.
Yes.
But I come at it as an executive producer or a creative producer, so kind of bringing... logic spreadsheet.
Oh, hey, look, we love a spreadsheet in the theatre. Don't get me wrong.
It goes with and you know, what are we trying to say, and who are we saying it to,
yes,
and what do we want to achieve in the creative practice?
And I mean, what are some of the things you're wanting to say to your audiences? What do you think is a critical sort of conversation that we need to be having in the sector here in Tāmaki, whether that's from local presenters or international presenters? Or maybe I should ask, what are presenters wanting to say?
Yeah, I think for me, coming at it, you know, as an Aussie now living in Tāmaki for 9 years,
yes,
I came here for two. I'm firmly ingrained into the road cone environment.
Yes.
I think for me, I wanted to think about what is a festival for a city, and a city like Tāmaki that is on this constant change.
Mm-hmm.
And that sense of coming out of the world that we've been in and the world that we remain in, how do we provide a sense of curiosity and fun and falling in love with the city again, or for the first time if you're new, through arts and culture,
yes,
and the storytelling. You know, we live in a country that storytelling is the best in the world, I think, whether that be text-based storytelling through dance, through incredible dance practice in this country, through music and through design, that I think that's where wanting to really leverage that point of difference creatively. And that means that for us nationally, we've got these breadth and depth of creative practice that we can play with, but also bringing internationals in is a key part.
Yeah, can you talk to that? Because look, it's sometimes quite controversial, one might say, for maybe not so much festivals, but in general, when we're programming venues or public spaces, that why international? You know, there's a real, a real desire from our audiences to see local, but what for you is a reason to bring in that overseas kind of voice or those overseas storytellers?
Yeah, I think for me, what resonates is that global perspective, and in an ever-changing environment where social media and other forms may not tell us the whole story, to be able to get that voice in our backyard,
yes,
is really important. We live in such a diverse community in terms of population that international voices resonate with those who now call Tāmaki home. but also just we're so geographically isolated as creative artists.
Yes, yes.
And to see what the world has on offer and to be able to leave artistic legacy from some of that practice and bring our own creative practice to that table, so sharing and collaborating with internationals so that as a creative practitioner we might see what a world stage looks like and how we can aspire to change.
I mean, gosh, it's really, as an artist based here, you know, and when I've gone overseas either to festivals to present or, you know, you go to markets and that sort of thing, sometimes the notion of scale is just so different. And you even between Australia and Aotearoa, there's huge differences there. So I think as an artist, you know, you look to festivals to inspire you and actually to learn from those other artists. So I think, yeah, it's a really critical part of that exchange. Talk to me, because this is stage direction. We've got theatre, you've got dance, you've already talked to, you know, that real breadth of what you've got in the program. What have you got in this year's program that people might be interested in checking out this year?
Well, for me, see, I'm a lighting designer by trade.
Yes.
So anything that is a visual feast completely ticks the box for me. And what I saw at Aotearoa Festival of the Arts in 24 was Movement of the Humans' Bell, a performance of Air. So Malia Johnson and some audiences may know Malia's work from World of Wearable Art. Mm-hmm. I had reached out to her and had a little bit of a fangirl moment to say that I thought that her work is of the scale of some of the great European festival works that are coming through. So we're working with her to present Belle in the Kirita Kanawa, which will be, when I was looking back on it, one of the first times that we're actually bringing a New Zealand company of that type. So it's an immersive work. It features dance, it features lighting and live music in a really intense 65-minute experience. You can't call it a theatre work, you can't call it a dance work. It is an experience. So really excited to have that.
And that must be a limited season you've got it on for?
Yeah, so it'll be the opening of the festival, and it aligns with the performing arts market, where we'll have a lot of internationals in town that will hopefully see her work and take it overseas.
Yes.
So it'll be five performances in that opening week from the 6th.
Oh, wow. So I mean, look, that, I think Molly is a good example of like one of our sort of, I'd say, a senior practitioner who is working at the top of her game. What about some of the other local artists that you've got programmed? And I noticed we've got over the next few weeks a bunch of practitioners coming in to talk to us about those shows. But yeah, who locally else are you presenting?
Yeah, I think Trick of the Light is another great company who are doing Suitcase Show. And I think the last time you and I saw each other, we were at a market in Melbourne, Australia.
We were like, yeah, let's talk about Trick of the Light for anyone that wants to know.
That's right. They were on an international tour, so we were selling their wares for them. And
right.
I love this work. I actually saw it in Edinburgh, of all places.
Didn't
see it here.
Yeah.
But to actually see Trick of the Light, who do a lot of work for young audiences, but this one is really a curious, mind-bending piece set around a customs line in an airport. So it's a really fantastic work, and they had a great hit of it in Edinburgh, so it's nice to bring that home.
Isn't it? And it's kind of, you know, there's something bittersweet about artists, our great artists who do find successes overseas, and there being limited opportunities sometimes for that work to be presented back here in home soil. So I'm really pleased to see there are those local works. What's an international one that you're like, look, if you're going to put your money on it to go see it, what would that be for you I mean, of course, you probably, you don't have a favourite child, etc. But
yes,
a big one maybe, or an international one that you think would be worth checking out.
Yeah, it is one of those moments of like, I can't pick my favourite kid in this lot. But Cirque Alphonse out of Quebec have a show called Animal, and it's a circus company. It's a family, so they've got babies on the road right through to an 80-odd year old granddad who greets you at the door.
Oh my gosh.
Says goodbye to you at the end of the show. But it is set on a farm, and it's a rocking live music circus show.
Yes.
And I don't want to give away the game, but there is a lot of fun interaction with audiences, and that's at Kew Theatre in the final week.
Oh my gosh. Look, I saw Circus Ronaldo a couple of times in festival, both in Wellington and Auckland. The family circus thing is like a vibe, man. And it's like I mean, I was going to say Quebecans, but those European circus, like, that's some freaky shit. Like, you got to love the vibe that these families sometimes generationally passing down the craft of like being able to do things like crack whips, but also like an entertain audience. They know how to deal with audiences, and they've dealt with their audiences all around the world. Spectacular. That one's at Q Theatre. Is that Rangatira, the big...
That's right.
Yeah, the
and
big one.
Every scene change, you sit there as an audience member going, you did not.
Oh,
you
I
did
love,
not.
I love.
Seriously. So
I'm
that's
obsessed.
A great one.
Great. Look, you've only given us like two or three of your picks. There's an entire program that you can go check out at Auckland Arts Festival's website, aaf.co.nz. It's also where you can buy your tickets. When does the festival actually kick off?
So it kicks off on the 6th of March with a free event. Event called Kia Kori, which is Let's Move, out on Altia Square. And we've got incredible live music and dance works out on the square so that we can have a really great time before you duck off to Belle or Jodie Mundy's Personal, which is another great work, which opens in the Q Theatre, which is about a child of a deaf adult and her realising that she was actually, her parents were deaf when she was standing in a Kmart and she got lost and they had to call for her. So it's...
Wow.
An incredible understanding of what it's like to be a hearing child in a deaf family.
My gosh, there's so much there. You've got to go check out Auckland Arts Festival. The program is up live. We'll be having a bunch of artists coming through the program. Bernie, thank you so much. I mean, gosh, we could talk for hours. But it is great to just hear a little bit more about what's driving the program. I'm looking forward to seeing a bunch of things this year. And what I always love is there are a bunch of activations and free things and family events. So just go and check it out. There's something there for everyone for sure. And over a period that's quite manageable, so you don't have to like quickly rush and see it, and otherwise you'll miss it like over a weekend. So.
And there are tickets for $30 and industry rate as well. So get onto the website to sign up onto our industry database for $35 tickets.
We love industry!
Yes! Thank you both so much for coming in. So lovely to have you here. That was Stage Direction.
That was Stage Direction with Alice Canton.